श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जयाद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जयाद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जयाद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत मध्य लीला. We're not really going to read from any particular section, mainly the Bairag Kirtan pastimes, which are in chapter 11 of the Madhya Lila. There's not really any one place where the Snan Yatra itself is focused on, but there's a few quotes here and there, so we may go to some other sections as well. But I'll begin with chapter 11. The Bairag Kirtan pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur summarizes the 11th chapter in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tried his best to arrange a meeting between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and King Pratabrudra, the Lord flatly denied his request. At this time, Sri Ramanand Rai returned from his governmental post, and he praised King Pratabrudra highly in Lord Chaitanya's presence. Because of this, the Lord became a little soft. The king also made promises to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who hinted how the king might meet the Lord. During Anavasara, while Lord Jagannath was resting for 15 days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being unable to see Lord Jagannath, went to Alalanath. Later, when the devotees from Bengal came to see him, he returned to Jagannath Puri. While Advaita Acharya and other devotees were coming to Jagannath Puri, Swarup Damodar and Govinda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's two personal assistants, went to receive all the devotees with garlands. From the roof of his palace, King Pratabrudra could see all the devotees arriving. Gopinath Acharya stood on the roof with the king, and following Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's instructions, identified each and every devotee. The king discussed the devotees with Gopinath Acharya, and he mentioned that the devotees were accepting prasadam without observing the regular principles of governing pilgrimages. They accepted prasadam without having shaved, and they neglected the fast in a holy place. After Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had explained to the king why the devotees had apparently violated the scriptural injunctions for visiting a place of pilgrimage, the king arranged residential quarters for all the devotees and saw to their prasadam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked very happily with Vasudev Datta and other devotees. Haridas Thakur also came, and due to his humble and submissive attitude, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him a nice solitary place near the temple. After this, the Lord began performing Sankirtan, dividing all the devotees into four groups. After Sankirtan, all the devotees left for their residential quarters. Atyuddandam tandavam gaura chandra kurvan bhaktai shri jagannath gehe nana bhara alankritanga swadhamna Chakre Rushvam Premarani Vanya Nimagnam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu merged the entire world into the ocean of ecstatic love by performing his beautiful dances within the temple of Jagannath. He danced exquisitely and jumped high. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Sri Advaita Prabhu. And all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The next day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give him permission to submit a statement without fear. The Lord gave the Bhattacharya assurance that he could speak without fear, but added that if his statement were suitable, he would accept it, and if it were not, he would reject it. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "There is a king named Pratapudra Rai. He is very anxious to meet you, and he wants your permission." As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the proposal, he immediately covered his ears with his hands and said, "My dear Sarvabhauma, what you're requesting, why are you requesting such an undesirable thing from me? Since I'm in the renounced order, it is as dangerous for me to meet a king as to meet a woman. To meet either would be just like drinking poison." Nishkinjanasya bhagavad bhajanon mukhasya padam padam jigamishor bhavasagarasya sandarshanam vishayanam athayoshitam cha ha hanta hanta vishabhakshanatopyasadho. Greatly lamenting, the Lord then informed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "Alas, for a person who is seriously desiring to cross the material ocean and engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord without material motives, seeing a materialist engaged in sense gratification or seeing a woman who is similarly interested is more abominable than drinking poison willingly." Purport. This is a quotation from Sri Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natak, 8.23. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enunciates the principle for a sannyasi, renouncing the material world, for spiritual advancement. Spiritual advancement is not meant for magic shows and jugglery, but for crossing the material world and being transferred to the spiritual world. Padam padam jigamashoho means desiring to go to the other side of the material world. There is a river called Vaitarani, and on one side of this river is the material world, and on the other side is the spiritual world. Since the Vaitarani River is compared to a great ocean, it is named Bhavasagara, the ocean of repeated birth and death. Spiritual life aims at stopping this repetition of birth and death and entering into the spiritual world, where one can live eternally cognizant and blissful. Unfortunately, the general populace does not know anything about spiritual life or the spiritual world. The spiritual world is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, 8.20. Parastasmat bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha yassa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu vinashyati. Yet there is another unmanifested nature which is eternal and transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is the supreme and is never annihilated. When all this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. Thus, there is a spiritual nature beyond this material world, and that spiritual nature exists eternally. Spiritual advancement means stopping material activities and entering into spiritual activities. This is the process of bhakti yoga. In the material world, the via media for sense gratification is mainly a woman. One who is seriously interested in spiritual life should strictly avoid women. A sannyasi should never see a man or a woman for material benefit. In addition, talks with materialistic men and women are also dangerous, and they are compared to drinking poison. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict on this point. He therefore refused to see King Pratapudra, who was naturally always engaged in political and economic affairs. The Lord even refused to see the king despite the request of a personality like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the Lord's intimate friend and devotee. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, "My dear Lord, what you have said is correct, but this king is not an ordinary king. He is a great devotee and a servant of Lord Jagannath." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Although it is correct that the king is a great devotee, he is still to be considered a venomous snake. Similarly, even though a woman be made of wood, one becomes agitated simply by touching her form. Just as one is immediately frightened upon seeing a live serpent, or even the form of a serpent, one endeavoring for self-realization should similarly fear a materialistic person and a woman. Indeed, he should not even glance at their bodily features. This is a quotation from Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natak, 8:24. Bhattacharya, if you continue to speak like this, you will never see me here again. Therefore, you should never let such a request come from your mouth. Being afraid, Sarvabhauma returned home and began to meditate on the matter. At this time, Maharaj Prataprudra arrived at Jagannath Puri. Purushottam, and accompanied by his secretaries, ministers, and military officers, he went to visit the temple of Lord Jagannath. In those days, the capital was in Cuttack, not very far away. Purushottam is the name of Jagannath Puri. When King Prataprudra returned to Jagannath Puri, Ramanand Rai came with him. Ramanand Rai immediately went to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great pleasure. Upon meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramanand Rai offered his obeisances. The Lord embraced him, and both of them began to cry in the ecstasy of great love. Seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate dealings with Sri Ramanand Rai, all the devotees were astonished. Why? Huh? Because he was not only was he a king also, but he was a lower caste king. At least Prataprudra Gajapati was presumably a kshatriya. So Ramanand Rai said, I duly informed King Prataprudra of your order for me to retire from service. By your grace, the king was pleased to relieve me of these material activities. I said, Your Majesty, I'm now not willing to engage in political activities. I desire only to stay at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kindly give me permission. When I submitted this proposal, the king immediately became very pleased upon hearing your name. Indeed, he instantly rose from his throne and embraced me. My dear Lord, as soon as the king heard your holy name, he was immediately overwhelmed by great ecstatic love. Catching my hand, he displayed all the symptoms of love. As soon as he heard my petition, he immediately granted me a pension without reductions. Thus the king granted me a full salary as a pension and requested me to engage without anxiety in the service of your lotus feet. Thus, Maharaj Prataprudra very humbly said, I'm most fallen and abominable, and I'm unfit to receive an interview with the Lord. One's life is successful if one engages in his service. The king then said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. He is very merciful, and I hope that in the future birth he will allow me an interview. My Lord, I don't think that there is even a fraction of Maharaj Prataprudra's loving ecstasy in me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, My dear Ramanand Rai, you are the foremost of all the devotees of Krishna. Therefore, whoever loves you is certainly a very fortunate person. Because the king hath shown so much love for you, Lord Krishna will certainly accept him. Name bhakta jana partha name bhaktascha me te janaha madbhaktanam cha ye bhaktaste me bhaktam tamamataha. Lord Krishna told Arjuna, this is in Adi Purana, those who were my direct devotees are not actually my devotees, but those who are devotees of my servant are factually my devotees. He quotes some more verses. My devotees take great care and respect in rendering me service. They offer obeisances to me with all their bodily limbs. They worship other devotees and find all living entities related to me. For me, they engage the entire energy of their bodies. They engage the power of speech in the glorification of my qualities and forms. They also dedicate their minds unto me and try to give up all kinds of material desires. Thus, my devotees are characterized. That's from the 11th canto, chapter 19, texts 21 and 22, spoken by Krishna, who answered Uddhava's questions about devotional service. He goes on and quotes another Puranic verse here. This is Lord Shiva speaking, telling Durga, my dear Devi, although the Vedas recommend worship of demigods, the worship of Lord Vishnu is topmost. However, above the worship of Lord Vishnu is the rendering of service to the Vaishnavas, who are related to Lord Vishnu. Durapa hyalpatapasaha seva vaikuntha vartmaso yatro bhagiyate nityam deva devo janardhanaha. Those whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees progressing on the path back to the kingdom of Godhead, the Vaikunthas. Pure devotees engage 100% in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of the demigods and the controller of all living entities. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7, Text 20, spoken to Vidura in conversation with Maitreya Rishi. Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati Gosai, Swarup Damodar Gosai, Lord Nityananda, Jagadananda, Mukunda, and others who were present before the Lord at that time. Sri Ramananda Rai therefore offered his obeisances to all the Lord's devotees, in particular to the four spiritual masters. Thus, Ramananda Rai suitably met all the devotees. The four spiritual masters are Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Swarup Damodar, and Lord Nityananda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next asked Ramananda Rai, have you already visited the temple of the lotus-eyed Lord Jagannath? Ramananda Rai replied, I shall now go to visit the temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, what have you done, my dear Rai? Why did you not first see Lord Jagannath and then come here? Why have you come here first? Ramananda Rai said, the legs are like a chariot, and the heart is like the charioteer. Wherever the heart takes the living entity is obliged to go. That analogy is from Katha Upanishad, which Srila Prabhupada quotes in his purport. Sri Ramananda Rai continued, what shall I do? My mind has brought me here. I could not consider going first to Lord Jagannath's temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, immediately go to Lord Jagannath's temple to see the Lord. Then go home and meet your family members. Having received Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's permission, Ramananda Rai hastily went to the temple of Lord Jagannath. Who can understand the devotional service of Rai Ramananda? When King Pratap Rudra returned to Jagannath Puri, he called for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When the Bhattacharya went to see the king offered him respects and made the following inquiries. The king asked, have you submitted my petition to the Lord? Sarvabhauma replied, yes, with much endeavor I've tried my best. Yet despite my great endeavor, the Lord would not agree to see a king. Indeed, he said that if we were asked again, he would quit Jagannath Puri and go elsewhere. Hearing this, the king became unhappy and greatly lamenting, began to speak as follows. The king said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended just to deliver all kinds of sinful, low-born persons. Consequently, he's delivered sinners like Jagai and Madhai. Alas, has Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu incarnated to deliver all kinds of sinners with the exception of a king named Maharaj Pratap Rudra? Adarshaniyan apineta nicha jatim samvikshate hanta tathapinomam madeka varjam kripayashyati iti nirniyakim sovavatara devaha. Alas, has Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his advent, deciding that he will deliver all others with the exception of me? He bestows his merciful glance upon many lower class men who are usually not even to be seen. This verse is found in the Sri Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natak, 8:28. Maharaj Pratap Rudra continued, if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is determined not to see me, then I am determined to give up my life if I do not see him. Purport, a devotee with Maharaj Prataprudra's determination will certainly be victorious in advancing in Krishna consciousness. Sri Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita 9:14. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. These are the symptoms of a Mahatma engaged in the Lord's service in full Krishna consciousness. Thus, Maharaj Prataprudra's determination is very much exalted and is called Dridhavrata. Because of this determination, he was finally able to receive Lord Chaitanya's direct mercy. That's an interesting point, because we talk about causeless mercy, but we also see, even in cases of causeless mercy, that there seems to be some cause precipitating that mercy. For example, Bali Maharaj was attached to the principle of giving in charity and to keeping his promise. And on the basis of that promise, he eventually got the mercy of Lord Vamanadeva. Because had he not kept that promise, he would not have surrendered everything to Vamanadeva. Similarly here, the king's determination is being glorified here. And Prabhupada says that because of his determination, he was finally able to receive Lord Chaitanya's direct mercy. Interesting thing to think about. If I do not receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, my body and my kingdom are certainly useless. Hearing King Prataprudra's determination, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became thoughtful. Indeed, he was very much astonished to see the king's determination. Because we don't see these things in politicians. We don't see these things. That such determination to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord in a politician, very, very rare. Finally, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, my dear king, do not worry. Because of your firm determination, I'm sure that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy will definitely be bestowed upon you. As soon as the Bhattacharya saw the king's firm determination, he declared, the Supreme Lord is approached only by pure love. Your love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very deep. Therefore, without a doubt, he will be merciful upon you. Purport, such determination is the first qualification, as determined, as confirmed by Rupa Goswami, Upadeshamrita number 3. Utsahan nishayat dharyat. One must first have firm determination, firm faith. When one engages in devotional service, one must maintain this firm determination. Then Krishna will be pleased with his service. The spiritual master can show the path of devotional service. If the disciple follows the principles rigidly and undeviatingly, he will certainly receive the mercy of Krishna. This is confirmed by the Shastras. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then suggested, there is one means by which you can directly see him. On the day of the Kara festival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will dance before the deity in great ecstatic love. On that Rath Yatra festival day, after dancing before the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will enter the Gunjacha garden. At that time, you too should go there alone, without your royal dress. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enters the Gundicha garden, you should also go there and read the 5 chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam about Lord Krishna's dancing with the gopis. In this way, you can catch hold of the Lord's lotus feet. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be in a mood of ecstatic love without external consciousness. At that time, as you recite those chapters from Srimad Bhagavatam, he will embrace you, knowing you to be a pure Vaishnava. The Lord has already changed his mind due to Ramananda Roy's description of your pure love for him. Maharaj Pratap Rudra took the Bhattacharya's advice and firmly decided to follow his instructions. Thus, he felt transcendental happiness. When the king asked the Bhattacharya when the bathing ceremony, Snanyatra, of Lord Jagannath would take place, the Bhattacharya replied that there were only 3 days left before the ceremony. After thus encouraging the king, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya returned home. On the day of Lord Jagannath's bathing ceremony, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy at heart. Upon seeing the bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. But when Lord Jagannath retired after the ceremony, Lord Chaitanya became very unhappy because he could not see him. Purport. After the bathing ceremony of Sri Jagannath, which takes place just a fortnight before the Rath Yatra ceremony, the body of Lord Jagannath, of the Lord Jagannath deity, is repainted, and this takes about a fortnight to complete. This period is called Anavasara. There are many who visit the temple to see Lord Jagannath regularly, every day. And for them, his retirement after the bathing ceremony is unbearable. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt Lord Jagannath's absence from the temple very much. Anavasara. Does anyone know what does anavasara mean? Avasara. Avasara means an opportunity. We were speaking about this last night. Subhadra madhyastha sakala sura seva avasarado. Jagannath and his brother Balaram and his sister Subhadra, they bestow the opportunity for devotional service upon all godly souls. Mahambodhe stire kanaka ruchire neelashakare. They live on the side of the ocean, on the shore of the ocean, in a great palace. Great golden palace on the blue mountain, Neelashikara or Neelachala. The place where the Jagannath temple is built, it's hardly a hill, but they call it that, Neelachala. And so they live there. And Vasan Prasadanta Sahaja Balabhadrena Balina. He lives there along with his powerful brother, Lord Balabhadra. And Subhadra Madhyastha, in between them is Subhadra Devi, in that great palace. And Sakala Sura, upon all the godly souls, Seva Avasara Do. They give the opportunity for devotional service. So for 2 weeks, they don't give that opportunity. And therefore, the devotees, especially those who are living in Jagannath Puri, they feel great absence. And we can only imagine. Actually, we can't imagine. But we should hear about how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt such intense separation. Due to separation from Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt the same great anxiety the gopis feel in separation from Krishna. In this condition, he gave up all association and went to Alalnath. The devotees who had followed the Lord came into his presence and requested him to return to Puri. They submitted that the devotees from Bengal were coming to Purushottam Kshetra. In this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought Lord Chaitanya back to Jagannath Puri. He then went to King Pratabrudra and informed him of the Lord's arrival. For the 2 weeks that we call Anavasara, when we don't get the opportunity to see Lord Jagannath, he goes some distance south of Jagannath Puri at the place called Alananath, where there's another temple of Vishnu there. And in great anxiety and separation, Lord Chaitanya stays in that holy place, very, very pure place. It was actually renovated by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his disciples. Very, very deep spiritual significance that place has with regard to Krishna and his pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan. So in this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought the Lord back. At this time, Gopinath Acharya came there while Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was with King Pratabrudra. Being a Brahmana, he offered his benediction to the king and addressed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as follows. About 200 devotees are coming from Bengal. All of them are greatly advanced and specifically devoted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All of them have already arrived on the bank of Lake Narendra and are waiting there. I desire residential quarters and prasadam arrangements for them. So Gopinath Acharya was arranging for 200 devotees from Bengal. Things have changed now, because now we hear that when someone like, for example, Radhanath Swami visits Jagannath Puri, he brings 2,000 devotees. 2,000 devotees. So Gopinath Acharya had 200. Now people have the headache of dealing with 2,000 of them. But that's transcendental ecstasy also. The king replied, I shall give orders to the attendant in the temple. He will arrange for everyone's residential quarters and prasadam as you desire. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please show me, one after another, all of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees who are coming from Bengal. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested the king, go up on the roof of the palace. Gopinath Acharya knows every one of the devotees and he will identify them for you. Actually, I don't know any of them, although I have a desire to know them. Since Gopinath Acharya knows them all, he will give you their names. After Sarvabhauma said this, he went up on the top of the palace with the king and Gopinath Acharya. At this time, all of the Vaishnava devotees from Bengal drew closer to the palace. Sri Sarup Damodar Goswami and Govinda, taking the flower garlands and prasadam of Lord Jagannath, proceeded to where all the Vaishnavas were standing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first sent those two persons in advance. The king inquired, who are these two? Please let me know their identities. Sri Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, here is Sarup Damodar, who is practically the second expansion of the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The second person is Govinda, Lord Chaitanya's personal servant. The Lord has sent garlands and remnants of Lord Jagannath's food with these two persons simply to honor the devotees from Bengal. At the beginning, Sarup Damodar came forward and garlanded Advaita Acharya. Govinda next came and offered a second garland to Advaita Acharya. When Govinda offered his obeisances by falling down flat before Advaita Acharya, Advaita Acharya asked Sarup Damodar about his identity, for he did not know Govinda at that time. Sarup Damodar informed him, Govinda was the servant of Ishwarapudi. He is very highly qualified. Ishwarapudi ordered Govinda to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus the Lord keeps him by his side. The king inquired, to whom did Sarup Damodar and Govinda offer the two garlands? His bodily effulgence is so great that he must be a great devotee. Please let me know who he is. Gopinath Acharya replied, his name is Advaita Acharya. He is honored even by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is therefore the topmost devotee. Here are Srivas Pandit, Vakreshwara Pandit, Vidyanidhi Acharya, and Gadadhara Pandit. Here are Acharya Ratna, Purandara Pandit, Gangadas Pandit, and Shankar Pandit. Here are Murari Gupta, Pandit Narayan, and Haridas Thakur, the deliverer of the whole universe. Here is Haribhakta, and there is Nrsinghananda. Here are Vasudeva Datta and Shivananda Sen. Here also are Govinda Ghosh, Madhava Ghosh, and Vasudev Ghosh. They are three brothers, and their Sankirtan, congregational chanting, pleases the Lord very much. Prabhupada here says in the purport that the songs of Vasudev Ghosh are considered authorized songs, just like those of Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinod Thakur, Lochan Das Thakur, Govinda Das Thakur, and other great Vaishnavas. There is a limit. There is a limit to the other great Vaishnavas, because they may not be great Vaishnavas. And this is something we have to be very careful of, because especially nowadays, there are many books and many songs circulating throughout the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and they have not necessarily been authorized by Srila Prabhupada. And those who circulate them do not necessarily have the qualifications to distinguish what is bona fide and what is not bona fide. And in worst-case scenarios, those who distribute these things don't even care whether they're bona fide or not bona fide, because the interest is mainly financial. Here is Raghava Pandit. Here is Acharya Nandan. There is Sriman Pandit. And here are Srikanta and Narayana. Gopinath Acharya continued to point out the devotees. Here is Shuklambara. See, there is Sridhara. Here is Vijaya, and there is Vallabhasen. Here is Purushottam, and there is Sanjay. And here are all the residents of Kulinagram, such as Satyaraj Khan and Ramananda. Indeed, all of them are present here. Please see. Here are Mukundadas, Narahari, and Sri Raghunandan, Chiranjeeva and Sulochan, all residents of Khanda. How many names shall I speak to you? All the devotees you see here are associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is their life and soul. The king said, upon seeing all these devotees, I am very much astonished, for I have never seen such an effulgence. Indeed, their effulgence is like the brilliance of a million suns. Nor have I ever heard the Lord's names chanted so melodiously. I have never before seen such ecstatic love, nor heard the vibration of the holy name of the Lord chanted in such a way, nor seen such dancing during Sankirtan. It's a fact that the particular and recognizably identifiable style of Kirtan that's performed by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it's different than anything else. It's different than anything else. But, Prabhupada points out in his purport here, it's not just a matter of musical expertise. And he even goes on to discuss drama. He says, if a devotee sticks strictly to the principles governing Vaishnava behavior, his bodily luster will naturally be attractive, and his singing and chanting of the holy name of the Lord will be effective. People will appreciate such kirtan without hesitation. Even dramas about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya or Sri Krishna should be played by devotees. Such dramas will immediately interest an audience and will be full of potency. The students of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness should note these two points and try to apply these principles in their spreading of the Lord's glories. There was one man in Delhi that I met, and his idea was that he wanted to rent, because he had the means to do so, he wanted to rent out so many places in the shopping malls that are now springing up all over India. Just like the shopping malls here, now there are shopping malls in India. It's really quite an experience. I was walking through one of them and saw that virtually everything that was advertised in this shopping mall with a photograph was using Western people to advertise it. And that in and of itself is not really maybe that surprising if you know how modern India thinks. But when I went, the reason I was in the mall to begin with is that I wanted to buy a new map of India. And you can generally get tour books and things like that have good maps. So I went to the biggest bookstore in one of the major malls in the capital of India and was shocked to discover that they had books about every country in the world and maps about every country in the world except for India. I could not find, and he just didn't seem to be interested. But anyway, I don't know how he got on this point now, but... So this one man wanted to rent some space in some of these malls. He actually had an idea to do so in many, many malls and employ people in selling Srila Prabhupada's books there. It's not a bad idea. As a matter of fact, we can use all the help that we can get. But the fact of the matter is that one cannot spread Krishna consciousness. It's a question of being empowered by Krishna's grace. Anyway, he might do it. We'll see what happens. But so this is Prabhupada's comment here in this regard. And Maharaj Prataparudra had never heard such sankirtan and never seen such attractive features manifested by the devotees. Srila Prabhupada further, he writes, that the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness should go to India during the birthday ceremony of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Mayapur and perform Sankirtan congregationally. This will attract the attention of all the important personalities in India, just as the beauty, bodily luster, and Sankirtan performance by the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attracted the attention of Maharaj Prataparudra. Now there's a dual function going on here that we can recognize. Just as it is a fact that the musical sophistication and aesthetic appeal of the what we call Padavali Kirtan, the kind of kirtan that was devised by Narottam Das Thakur and still to a large extent prevalent among Gaudiya Vaishnavas, just as that is, it has its external appeal, its musical or its, artistic appeal. But at the same time, it's really the purity that purifies or is effective, as to use Prabhupada's words. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the fact of experience of most, at least older devotees who have gone to India and preached there, that just because you're an American, people will listen to you. It doesn't really matter what you say, because they're listening to you only because you're an American. If I had taken birth in India and said the same things that I'm saying now, then no one would listen to me. That's a humbling thing for us. But at the same time, there is an appeal which is beyond the senses and beyond the mind, beyond the intellect, beyond the emotions, and it registers directly with the soul. That thing is inconceivable. There's a lot about Krishna consciousness is inconceivable. So that's what I think Srila Prabhupada is referring to here. The associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were unlimited during the Lord's presence on this planet, but anyone who is pure in his life, pure in life, and devoted to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to be understood as a Nitya Siddha associate of the Lord. So be careful. Srila Prabhupada said it. I'll read it again. Anyone who is pure in life and devoted to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to be understood as a Nitya Siddha associate of the Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, "This sweet transcendental sound is a special creation of the Lord, known as Prema Sankirtan, congregational chanting in love of Godhead." So there's more of it. I think it's getting late now, so maybe we should wind up. As I mentioned, there's not really a whole lot specifically about Snanyatra. At least there's no passage narrating that pastime. But there is one other thing that here in the Madhyalila chapter 13 and text number 8 in Srila Prabhupada's purport, he mentions a few things about it as well. He says, Daita refers to one who has received the mercy of the Lord. Lord Jagannath has a number of stalwart servants known as Daitas. These servants do not come from very high caste families, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas, but because they are engaged in the service of the Lord, they have been elevated to a respected position. Thus, they are known as Daitas. These servants of Lord Jagannath take care of the Lord from the day of the Snanyatra up to the time the Lord is carried from the throne to the Ratha car. In the Kshetra Mahatmya, these Daitas are said to come from the Shavaras, a caste that keeps and sells pigs. However, among the Daitas, there are also many who come from the Brahmana caste. Those Daitas coming from the Brahmana families are called Daitapatis, or leaders of the Daitas. The Daitapatis offer food such as sweetmeats to Lord Jagannath during the Anavasara, the resting period after Snanyatra, so Lord Jagannath can have sweets. They also make the early morning offering of sweetmeats daily. It is said that during the Anavasara, Lord Jagannath suffers from fever and that the Daitapatis offer him an infusion of drugs represented by fruit juice. It is said that in the beginning, Lord Jagannath was worshipped by the Shavaras and was known as the deity Nilamadhava. Later, when the deity was established at the temple, the Lord became known as Jagannath. Because the deities were taken from the Shavaras, all the Shavara devotees were elevated to the position of Daitas. Anyway, I think we should stop here because it's getting late, but if anybody has any comments or any questions. One question. It is said that a sannyasi should neither see a woman nor a materialist for material benefits. Yeah, with an interest of sense gratification. That's what Krishna describes in chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita as kama sankalpa, with the determination to pursue sense gratification. Material benefits would be in the form of either the desire to exploit the Lord's property or the desire to escape the Lord's authority. And virtually everything within human experience falls within one of those two categories, which are also called karma and jnana, or bhoga and tyaga. We aspire after fruitive results in the form mainly of sense gratification, or sometimes piety, or we, getting out of the cycle of karma altogether, we aspire to escape the Lord through mukti, through liberation, wherein we don't have to bother with him and we don't get bad karma either. So those two tendencies propel all non-devotional activity. And obviously, I think, but if it's not obvious, I'll say it, that for a materialist or for a person who looks at a materialist or who's associating with women, with the desire to enjoy, that person would fall into the vikarma category, or at best in the karma category. Whether through dharma or whether through vikarma, it doesn't really matter. One will be entangled by that. Therefore, it's said that for a sannyasi who's actually trying to re-enter the spiritual world, to see people engaged in sense gratification is the most injurious thing. And that's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not allow an interview with a king. However, because he was a devotee, and because he was recommended by other devotees, he ultimately did give his mercy to that king. He was not an ordinary king, but at least for the sake of maintaining social order, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this was his example. And many, many cases we see like this. Yesterday we heard about Sanatan Goswami, also did not want to disturb the social order, therefore he didn't go into the temple. And here we see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did not want to disturb the social order, therefore he, at least initially, he set the example of someone in the renounced order of life. Is that clear? Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.